Let's please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. And we'll read 5 through 8 as a lead-in from where we were last week. And we're, Lord willing, going to finish tonight the book of Revelation. And it says that then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And, you know, this is Jesus speaking. And he's saying, "I'm going to make it all new." And then the rest of the chapter in chapter 22 talks about all new. Everything's going to be completely fixed. The whole world, the new heaven, the new earth, completely fixed. And nobody that is the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable is going to be there, because it's only going to be those who have their names written in the book of life because they bowed to the knee of Jesus because they wanted to repent of all these things. As Corinthians said, "And such were some of you, cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers. We were that in our heart, in our actions. Because we were in rebellion against God, we repented of that. We turned to God, got our names written in the book of life. We got a new heart from God that's being under construction while we're still in these fallen fleshes, and we're going to be so glad when we go into a place where none of that exists. And it's coming soon. Verse 9, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I wish to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.'" Now, this was one of the angels that had one of the last bowls of wrath, the seven bowls of wrath, which were horrible sores that broke out on everybody that had the mark of the beast. And everything in the sea dies was the second. The third one was the waters being polluted. The sun burns and scorches people. So one of the angels that had one of the seven bowls of the wrath of God says, "Hey, let me show you. Now I get to do the good story. You know, I was there for the wrath of the Lamb to pour down on earth, which is being destroyed, which is going to be rolled up like a scroll," it says in Isaiah. And then it's going to be made new. And Peter says, burned up in the elements, all that. There was a wrath of God. Let me show you the new. Let me show you what's going to happen now for all those who love God. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a precious, like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And so then here we see the angel calling the holy city of Jerusalem, this new Jerusalem that's going to come down. We're going to get the dimensions of it and the descriptions of it, that it's the bride of the Lamb. Now, for those that have been studying Revelation, who was the bride of the Lamb a little while ago in our study? We, the church, are the bride of the Lamb. But see, we're the church dispensation. We're at the marriage supper of the Lamb as the church bride. Now, there's been the return of Jesus. There's been the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. Now, all the souls who have ever believed in all of time are with God. And we're going to be living in this city, we're going to find out. We're going to have access to this city. So is the city really the bride? No. It's the contents of the city. So the ultimate bride of Christ is all who have ever believed. In the Old Testament, they are believing forward to a Messiah that would come and save them from sin. And Moses knew about it. Abraham knew about it. Enoch knew about it. Enoch knew the Messiah was going to come and bring his vengeance on earth. So God, throughout the ages, had prophets knowing there was going to be this day. Jesus said of Abraham, "Abraham saw my day and rejoiced." Abraham told people, there's going to be a day a Messiah comes and is on Mount Moriah, just like my son that I was about to and willing to sacrifice, Isaac, but God made another way. All this was throughout history that people could know that a Messiah was going to come and save them. And that's going to be the ultimate bride of the Lamb, is going to be all believers. And throughout all of history. And looking again, it says, and look carefully at verse 10, "And he, the angel, carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy city Jerusalem, descending from heaven, from God." Does that ring a bell at all? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Keep that verse 10 in Revelation in your mind, and then read Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Give you a second to turn there. Because there was another time that somebody was taken to an exceedingly high mountain. Do you remember who that was? It was Jesus, taken to the exceedingly high mountain. By who? By the devil Satan. Again, the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain. And again, Revelation 21 verse 10 is a great and high mountain, exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." So really, what have we seen in the book of Revelation? We saw God delivering the world over to man's attempt to rule the world with a great city of the world, you know, ruling over the masses of the world with the Antichrist, with God saying, "Okay, I'm out. You got Satan, you got your Antichrist possessed of Satan, you've got your great city Babylon, and its destruction." And what the Bible says is that the city of Babylon was filled with every vile spirit, every demonic spirit, etc., etc., and the world was, and that city became drunk with the blood of the saints, wiping out God's people, wanting nothing but evil in all of the world, to the point where the people are cursing God even over the judgments that are coming. And now, that's what Satan wanted to say, "Hey, Jesus, rule now over the kingdoms of the earth." And what's Jesus really saying? "You shall only worship God." And guess what? He has a plan to rule forever over the kingdom of heaven and those who want to be in heaven. "Why would I want to rule over the corruptness of the earth? That's your deal. I'm going to be patient and wait for my bride. I'm going to go to the cross and make it so that they can dwell in my kingdom, where I will rule in righteousness and justice forever and ever and ever over a people that want to be there. At where you're going to be creating a world system where people are going to agonize that they're in your corrupt world." How many people have to, by the hundreds and thousands and millions actually around the world, people are wanting to leave their corrupt leadership of their countries, where we're going to be enjoying forever an open gate society where no one wants to leave because we have King Jesus on the throne. Going to verse 12 of Revelation 21. "Also, she had a great and high wall," this heavenly Jerusalem, this new Jerusalem, had a high wall, with 12 gates, the 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And so we see that there's gates that are there with the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, which God used them as a witness people. He spoke to them through that dispensation, and they're part of the heavenly Jerusalem. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So we see the gates and the foundation are all based on Old Covenant, Jews being the promised people that throughout history God has spoken to us through the Jews, through the law and everything else, and what is the apostles' doctrine that the church was supposed to share in, that Jesus is the only way. And it's the foundation of Jerusalem, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to God except through him. And it's the foundation of this Jerusalem. Verse 15, "And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal." And, you know, from my Bible study aids, that's equal to 1,500 miles on each side. Anybody see anything different in your study Bibles? So 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. Bigger than Babylon, I bet. In fact, it's if you work out the numbers, it's 3.375 billion cubic miles. And because some people said, man, that's not very big. I mean, there's a lot of people been saved through all of eternity. Let's say 3 billion people are saved through all of history. That's, I mean, a realistic number. I mean, some people want to say there's 2 billion Christians on earth today. Do you think that's true? No, it's probably extremely less. But even if it was 3 billion, maybe there's more. That still, you get a cubic mile all to yourself. And so we're not going to, and for all we know, when God puts us in our glorified body, we're shrunk down and we're like an atom in size. And so we don't know. We only know we're never going to be bummed about being in the heavenly Jerusalem, which, by the way, comes down to a new earth. And it says that we can go in and out. Nobody can come in that has any vile thing with them. So the children of God get to go in. But where do we go out to? It seems like we're able to tooly around on the new created earth. But there's no real description of exactly what happens in that scenario. So in verse 17, it says, then he measured its walls 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like clear glass. So inside the city, somehow there's this 210-foot wall, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. And, you know, you look at gold, I guess if you really thin out gold, it can look like just sheer glass, and it's going to be a beautiful place. So in other words, everything, what we see so far is everything that is considered so extremely precious on earth. Pearls are gates. You know, somebody has a big pearl when it's, you know, just that big around. This thing's going to be big for people to go through. God takes everything that he's made and created precious on earth. It's so rare, it's going to be like common. And there's not going to be any grass pollen at all, I'm sure, in heaven. So then it says in verse 19, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophras, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. Now, how many of you have all those precious gems at home? Anybody? Because if you did, I should have had you pronounce all this because you'd know what it is. But these are all precious gems that are going to be the foundations, the wall. We're going to be, you know, I love going to beautiful places. I'm not a very artistic person. I'm more of a black and white kind of person. I can't paint. I can't do any of those things. But when I get into a place that's beautiful, that somebody that has all that gifting has made it and made it happen, I wow. This place is something. There's that such beauty. What God is going to give us forever and ever and ever is we're going to be dwelling in a heavenly Jerusalem where everywhere that we look, we see nothing but incredible, precious beauty forever. And let's go to John chapter 14, verse 1. Because Jesus, when he was here, he tried to individualize that promise to every soul that would ever believe in him. He wants you to know that he has gone to, he was leaving earth. He was telling his disciples that he's going to go away, and he knew they were going to be sad. And he was saying, don't be sad. Why? Because I'm building a place for you. I'm building a place for you where you can come. Now we get to see what that place is. He didn't explain it to his disciples in the book of John, but the apostle John has been given the ability years and years later, decades later, he's been given the ability to see it and explain it to us in the book of Revelation. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in the Father, you believe in Yahweh, believe also in me, Jesus, as your Messiah, as your Lord. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And that would have been good enough for me. I wouldn't care if it was a tin shack, as long as I could be with the Jesus who so loved me and came to die on the cross for my sins. Wipe away my sins, keep me away from the lake of fire, keep me away from the devil and his minions forever and ever and ever. But he didn't just leave us in a shack. He promised us absolute beauty and said, I'm going to prepare this place for you. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Meaning, you can't get to the Father, you can't get to this heavenly Jerusalem until your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Lamb's Book of Life is because you repented and turned away from your sin, you wanted Jesus to change you, to forgive you, and you want a new heart to let Him be the Lord of your life. And then you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, another place that emphasizes how people by faith, including us, by faith, we know that God has a special place for us, don't we? And we, by faith, know that nothing in this world is worth more than that relationship with Jesus. Not anything of value, not any person. If a person is telling me, you have to deny Jesus, or I'm going to take away your life, that nothing, our life's not more important, that I won't be your friend anymore, that relationship is not more important, that there is nothing more important than Jesus and obedience to Him. In fact, we're going to make it a handout on Wednesday. Remember last week I told you about the Muslim ISIS guy who converted. He was given a Bible. Now it's a World Net Daily article today. So if it's in World Net Daily, it's got to be true. So last week, the article that somebody shared with me was out of Voice of the Martyrs, and I wasn't so sure I wanted to share it. But now I guess there's more confirmation that's gone on, and they printed this World Net Daily article today that an ISIS guy was getting ready to kill a Christian, and the Christian said, you know, I know you're going to kill me, but I want you to take my Bible and read it. And so the guy took his Bible and read it. And he started coming under conviction of the Word of God. And so then he started having dreams of this person clothed in white saying, you are killing my children, stop it. And he is now a believer in Jesus. He opened up to a Voice of the Martyr person and said, I want you to know I'm actually a believer. I'm, you know, still involved with this crew, you know, however that is. But he said he was opening up to the person saying, I'm a believer and this is what happened. I killed this Christian. And he told me to just read his Bible. And I did. And I'm under conviction and I'm a believer in Jesus. And so Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, these all died in faith. All the martyrs, all the people who live by faith in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of fame of those walking by faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. What are the promises? That we get to go be with God in a heavenly Jerusalem someday. Not yet, but having seen them afar, were assured of them, embraced and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Now, I don't see heavenly Jerusalem. I can't today. I cannot see heavenly Jerusalem except by the words on these pages, but I have absolute, complete assurance that I am going to see the heavenly Jerusalem. I'm going to see those pearls. I'm going to see those gems. And more importantly, I'm going to see my King Jesus. And He is going to be there forever and ever and wash me completely clean, has washed me. I know I'm going to feel clean forever. I'll never be tempted again in my new body. I know it's going to happen. And as a result, for those who say such things, declare plainly that they seek a homeland. I do. I seek a homeland. I seek a new country that I can get out of this country and all of its garbage and all of its depression. I am so looking for it. I just can't get an airline ticket there today because it doesn't exist on this world. It exists in the new heaven that's coming. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return or go someplace else. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Amen. And we get to see what it looks like in the last chapters of the Bible, last two chapters of the Bible. We get to know what it's going to be like. One more, Revelation 3:12. We already saw this hope of the New Jerusalem all the way in chapter 3, however many months ago that was. And it says, he who overcomes, by the way, if you're here today as a sold out believer in Jesus Christ, nothing could shake you off of your love for him. You are an overcomer. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. You're going to have a New Jerusalem name on your spiritual soul, eternal body, which comes down out of heaven from God, which we're reading about in chapter 21. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And that was talking about the Philadelphian church, the true church, the believing church, the not really strong church, but holding on to his word church of the last days. Going back to verse 21 of chapter 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And everything that's precious on earth is just common in heaven. Kind of like how Solomon, it says that he made silver like nothing, you know, in the kingdom. It's like if silver, I mean, if you're anybody, you have gold. You have gold goblets instead of silver bowls or nothing, silver glasses. Drinking vessels. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. What was the temple on earth for? It was to point people to the fact that God had a plan for dealing with sin. The sin had to be dealt with through sacrifice. And it also showed what it took to get to God. And everybody was so excited in the church age that the veil is rent in two, because now we can get to God in a spiritual faith way. We can get to God, but then face to face. Then we're in his heavenly Jerusalem where he dwells. There is no need for a temple because Jesus is the temple. God is the temple. We get to go be with him at any moment. The city has no need for the sun or the moon to shine it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb, Jesus, is its light. And that's why when they asked Jesus, his disciples asked Jesus in John chapter 9, and they said, oh, Jesus, here's this man, this young man, born blind. And who was it, his parents or him that sinned? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus saying, I was the light of the world when I came in. When we go to heaven, we don't need the light of the sun, the light of the moon, because Jesus is the light. There will be no need for fake light in a spiritual world of eternal heaven with Jesus. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. So there looks like there's going to be kings of the earth. But the people, and we don't understand how there's going to be an earth population, Jerusalem population. It could be the same. It could be that we get to go out of the heavenly Jerusalem, go on to that's come down to the newly created earth, and we get to do whatever in the earth, and there's going to be kings within the earth, but we're all going to enjoy that entire relationship between man and God. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk, light, and the kings of the earth should bring glory and honor into it. Verse 25, its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. See, at night, in the world today, you shut the gates at night, right? Isn't that when you, before you go to bed, what do? You know, shut the doors, lock them, make sure they're all locked, because there's evil all around. And it's dark. And that's why Jesus says, men love darkness rather than light, because in the dark is when the devil does his deeds. And what it's saying, hey, the gates don't go shut during the day. And by the way, you don't shut them at night because there's no night. There's never darkness. We're not going to need to sleep. We're not going to want sleep during darkness. We're going to be living 24/7 all day long, serving Jesus awake, enjoying it forever and ever and ever, never worrying about the gates or the doors of the city being open. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So again, the promise, we will never have to worry about somebody who hates Jesus being in our midst ever again. And it's why we, you know, we can tell people that are at enmity with our Jesus. So you don't want the heavenly Jerusalem. You don't want to live in a time where your doors are open. And you never have to worry about darkness. You never have to worry about evil. And they go, well, actually, you want to ask them, do you worry about people ripping you off? Yes. Would you like to have a time where nobody, that will never happen? Well, yeah, that'd be kind of nice. Because then I can rip them off. You know, I mean, that's the attitude that people have. They know it's nice for them, but then they're always thinking evil towards others and just say, this is what Jesus is promising. Never, ever anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie ever again. I emailed Mike McIntosh this last week, a couple days ago, and he's heading over to Iraq to minister to all the women that have been raped by the ISIS guys, that, you know, the ones that haven't been killed. And he's going to be flying over there. You can be praying for him to go and go over there and minister to them and just encourage them, because, you know, they're under Islam, and some of them are Christians that have been raped and allowed to live. And, you know, God, what happened? And just being able to comfort them and encourage them that this is the decrepit world, but there's going to be another one that comes where nothing that defiles or causes an abomination ever again. I fear that we don't have time to do chapter 22, and so we'll have to save that for next week. Amen. And there was a, and maybe, I mean, maybe the Lord's just waiting for us to get done, and he's going to take us all in the rapture. I don't know. So, but isn't it going to be something? And next chapter, we'll spend a little bit more time than I was going to, embellishing them on some things that are parallel passages. But let it sink in. This is really going to happen. And the more it sinks in, the more the song that cast your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. How cool is anything in this world in light of what we just read? Nothing. It's all, like Paul said, it's like a dung pile. I count my whole life is nothing but dung compared to the excellency of knowing my Christ Jesus, because I'm going to go into this place forever and ever. And he purchased my access. He purchased my reservation. And all I had to do is simply humble myself before this almighty God and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time the saints can gather, Lord. And we just so yearn for that day that we can be with you. And Lord, we pray that you would just help these words that we've just read just be so implanted in our minds and hearts that when the world lusts after the things that are all glitzy and seem so popular and wonderful in this life, that we see, that help us to just see they're all meaningless. They're all going to pass away. They're all going to burn up. And that nothing is more important than a devotion for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in this song.
All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I will praise him. And I'll reign with him throughout eternity. All hail King Jesus.
Hail King Jesus. He's coming and he's worthy to be hailed. Amen. God bless you.